let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your love.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. My first guest is a well-known producer of Kung Pao kosher comedy as well as other Bay Area comedy shows. They also do a show called Resilient Comedy. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome the international sensation, Lisa Godaldig. Welcome.
Oh, my God. International. Actually, I have performed in Canada and
there you go.
London.
There you go.
Hello, KPOO audience.
How are you doing today?
I'm swell. How about you?
I'm doing great. So tell me a little bit about this resilient comedy, because this is actually my first time hearing about it.
Yeah, I started it last year. It's a monthly show, mm-hmm. and I have a mix of comedians from the Bay Area, and we give away partial proceeds to different organizations each month. This mm-hmm. month is the ACLU. Okay. And sometimes people do a lot of political stuff, sometimes a little. It's just a way to stay sane during this current insane era.
I understand. So you said you started it last year. Do you remember who your first guests were back when you first started it?
Of course not.
Well, then let's talk about who the guests are this month.
I can tell you who headlined Kung Pao in 1997.
Well, then why don't you tell me who the comedians are for this month? Lisa?
And he's one of the founders and producers of this South Asian festival called Desi Comedy Fest. And then John Lear, who is based in Santa Rosa, I met him when we were both performing some months ago at the Throckmorton in mm-hmm. Mill Valley, and I thought he was really funny, so I booked him. Mm-hmm. And Brett Jennings is this pretty young, newish comedian who has been doing great, moved to Dallas and was performing there, and she's a Harvard grad. And I know her from my improv class that I go to on Saturdays. So everyone's got completely different perspectives. And then myself. So I've been doing comedy for, I don't know, 50 years, oh, wow. 35 years.
Now, we lost a little bit of the audio. Can you rename the headliner and how you met them?
Yes, Abhay Nadkarni. Mm-hmm. He is originally from India, and we met through the comedy circuit. And he's the co-founder and producer of a South Asian comedy festival called Desi Comedy Fest.
Okay. All right. And then where do you normally do the show?
This is at the Eclectic Box on Valencia between 15th and 16th. Mm-hmm. It used to be Stageworks and it used to be something before that. So our next show is Tuesday, July 28th at 7 p.m. at the Eclectic Box.
Okay. And how do people get tickets for that?
cityboxoffice.com/resilient-comedy. And I have to apologize if the sound is horrible. I'm hearing it on my end really broken up.
That's all right. It sounds great coming through.
Good.
It's probably the universe just messing with you.
Yeah, probably. Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for always supporting local artists. I really appreciate you.
All right. And just one more time, where online can they find out more about the show?
cityboxoffice.com/resilient-comedy or koshercomedy.com/resilient-comedy.
Excellent. Well, Lisa Godoldick, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out Resilient Comedy. And that is happening on this weekend. It's happening July 28th. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So check it out. Hey, it's an anniversary of sorts. Well, it's a definite anniversary. The moon landing happened. And rather than just me sort of waxing eloquent about the moon landing, I actually found a recording from 1969 of a station that was monitoring the moon landing. So I think that I just want to let you listen to it because it was truly historic when it happened. And we're going to just be like flies on the wall for the people who were listening. This is the Apollo landing coverage by WCBC back in 1969.
18-second maneuver that puts
7 minutes, 30 seconds into the burn.
At 7:30,
16,300 feet.
13 miles away from landing site 2.
Eagle Houston is descent 2 fuel to monitor, over. Sounded 2. Altitude 13,005. Velocity 9,100 feet per second.
Made it switch over time, please, just.
Roger, stand by. You're looking great at 8 minutes.
Correction on that velocity. Now reading 760 feet per second.
It's the P-64.
Coming into Highgate, P-64, a new Roger. Program. Highgate to locate. They have 70 seconds in which to redesignate the landing site to take a good look at it now if they want to change it.
Final says we're go. Altitude 9,200 feet.
830, you're looking great.
Into Highgate now.
Slowing down below 300 miles an hour.
29 feet per second.
We copy.
Just a little more than 100 miles per hour descent rate.
They should be within 5 miles of their landing point. And they should be getting a good look at it now. They should decide very soon if they
Eagle,
like it.
Eagle, you're looking great. Coming up 9 minutes.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good. Altitude 5,200 feet.
Now the radar should be telling them their altitude precisely.
Roger, copy.
Their rate of descent.
Altitude 4,200.
Houston, you're a go for landing. Over.
Good heavens.
Roger, understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet. Shot alarm. 1201.
1201. Roger, 1201 alarm. We're go. Same type. We're go.
They're going 2, in.
2,000 feet. 2,000 feet. Into the ag, 47 degrees.
Roger.
47 degrees.
They got a momentary alarm on their system there, but decided that...
Eagle looking great. Your go.
It was nothing.
Altitude 1,600. 1,400 feet, still looking very good.
Roger, 1202. We copy it.
35 degrees. 35 degrees, 750, coming down to 23. 700 feet, 21 down, 33 degrees. 100 feet, down to 19. 540 feet, down to 30, down to 15.
Coming down to low gate now, the real landing phase.
400 feet, down at 9. Gate forward. 1050 feet down at 4. 30 feet half down. 100 velocity. 300 feet down 3.5. 47 forward. Put up. On 1.5 down. 70. Down at 2.5. 19 forward. Altitude velocity light. 10 and a half down, 220 feet. 13 forward. 11 forward, coming down nicely, 200 feet. 4 and a half down, 5 and a half down. Within 60 feet, 6 and a half down, 5 and a half down. 9 forward. Good. 120 feet. 100 feet, 3 and a half down, 9 forward. 5%. 185. 75 feet. Guys looking good, down a half. 6 forward. 60 seconds. Lights on.
Have they made
down
contact?
2.5. Forward. Forward. 40 feet down, 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Make shadow. 4 forward. 4 forward. Drift into the right a little. Down a half. 30 seconds. Forward.
Kicking up a little dust as they were 40 feet above the surface.
Contact light?
Contact light.
Okay, engine stop.
Stop the engine.
Had a descent. Hose control both auto. Descent engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
They're on the moon.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Do you believe it?
You're looking good here.
Now a quick checkup.
We're going to be busy for a minute.
We're going to be busy for a minute as well.
Take care of the defense. I'll get this back to bed.
They have just a very few seconds here to decide whether they want to stay or whether they want to leave right away.
Very smooth touchdown.
Very smooth touchdown. I don't believe it yet.
Tranquility Base.
And the Eagle has landed. Going through a wild set of post-landing checklists.
We're landing the exercise
up. Roger, Eagle, and you are safe for T1. Over. Eagle, you are safe for T1.
Roger.
And we
see him safe for T1.
Roger, and we see you venting the ox.
Roger.
That means that they can stay for at least 20 minutes. There's no question in my mind, Reed, that they're going to stay a lot longer than that.
If they possibly can. I think it was interesting. We heard and we listened to the maneuvers going on up there. They were looking for a little better place to land. They were translating and hovering and using up a great deal of that propellant. That's what it was designed to do. And that's why touchdown came a little later than the optimum, really, plan. Neil Armstrong was simply looking for what looked to him to be a good place to sit down.
Buzz Aldrin reporting that at 40 feet of altitude, their big descent propulsion engine...
Copy, 960,
43. Roger, we have it.
Then throttled down.
Roger, we rigged you fire by Columbia. He has landed Tranquility Base. Eagle is at Tranquility. Over.
Yeah, I heard the whole thing.
Well, good show.
I'm telling Mike Collins what happened, but of course he listened.
Top reset.
And Mike Collins says, fantastic, that favorite word of astronauts.
Of course, now they have to decide exactly where they are with relation to the moon's center, and they have to realign things quickly.
The next day will be for the T2 event. That is at 21 minutes, 26 seconds after initiation of powered descent.
Columbia went up to telemetry command reset to reacquire on the high gain.
Copy out.
Well, once they got that antenna working, Reed, in the last two or three minutes of that powered descent, it began to look pretty good. But for a while there, when telemetry dropped out after they had been burning for just a minute or so, there certainly had to be some very worried people. As Mission Control in Houston reported, people were blue.
We have an official time for that touchdown of 102 hours, 45 minutes, 42 seconds, and we will update that.
I wonder what they thought a blue light goes on when the first of those probes that dipped down 5.8 to
below. We want 1-0-2-5-4.
I wonder what they really thought when they cut the engine and then just settled down. They're so busy now that I think the whole thing hasn't really overwhelmed them, overwashed them, as it certainly must do.
Neil Armstrong, it sounded to me, gulped, took a big breath just before he said those words. Houston, Tranquility Base, the Eagle has landed. The man whose heart rates, Reed, as you were saying earlier, have always gone up higher than his fellow astronauts. Back in the Gemini days, he got so excited during launch.
The horizontal 55.15.2. That's affirmative.
He was beating away at 146
feet. We're now less than 4 minutes from our next stay, no stay. The next stay will be for one complete revolution of the command module.
I'm sure he was just as excited as he's ever been in his life at that moment.
I can't imagine any relative thing to which one could compare it. In his own emotional compartments, he's lived through a lot of things, has Neil Armstrong.
Say again.
But nothing like this.
Mike and Ags to things align, over. Roger, we're standing by for it.
Now they're getting that alignment set up so they know where they are with relationship to the moon and to the command module, which is flying on above them, so the computer, in the event they need to take off of there in a hurry, can put them into the right powered ascent and then dipping over, so they'll get
one
back
of the
within
first
rendezvous
that,
capability.
Strong and Aldrin will do after getting their next stay, no stay, will be to remove their helmet and gloves.
Helmet quantity up top. Eagle, Houston, your stay for T2, over. Correction, your...
Roger, stay for T2, we thank you.
Roger, sir.
Well, the Eagle has landed on the surface of the moon, and it's reported back in this powered descent.
That stay for another 2 minutes plus. The next stay, no stay, will be for
filled in
one
the
revolution.
Last 12 minutes of time that the Apollo program had always lacked, and that mankind in his own time continuum had lacked up until now. The flight of Apollo 11, now the lunar landing of Apollo 11 coverage, will continue in a minute.
Does today's gasoline really give better mileage than what we had?
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That, my friends, is the Apollo landing coverage of the moon landing. It was done back in July 20th, 1969 by the WCBC news people, and you can hear the awe and amazement that everyone was feeling at that moment. And it's true. People were just overwhelmed, and the people who were actually in that spacecraft and on the moon were it was probably a very surreal moment for them, because they still have to go through these sort of mundane checklists of things that they have to do. Meanwhile, they're the first people on the moon, and that's just crazy. And they probably were, when they open the door and deal with it. Shell, the good mileage gasoline. So this is a coverage that I got from the Internet Archive, archive.org.
After 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, on the date of July the 20th, 1969. That was the landing time.
We just heard the recommendation, you exit P-12. P-12 is the computer program for liftoff. I'm not sure exactly whether they're taking that out of the computer now or precisely what they are doing. I think we'd best pay rather careful attention to these last few moments. The LEM system must be monitored from within the LEM, the Eagle, and from the ground, and it must be in perfect working order, post-landing order, before man dares stay where he has dared to put down.
In about a minute, they should be getting the go-no-go decision to stay for one revolution, at least. Provided that instruction didn't mean something might be wrong.
I don't know, but when you hear that that input, program 12, you have to listen to it rather carefully to be sure that they're not putting it in or taking it out. The absence of communication from mission control probably bears no particular weight at this time, but we want to wait and we want to see. Men are on the moon.
That may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto targeting was taking us right into a football field sized crater with a large number of big boulders and rocks for about a 1 or 2 crater diameters around it. And it required us going in P-66 and flying manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
Roger, we copy. It was beautiful from here. Tranquility, over.
Well, that's the explanation of that long search for a landing point. They found a football size.
Now, we'll get to the details of what's around here, but it looks like a collection of just about every variety of shape, angularity, granularity, but every variety of rock you could find. The color is... Well, it varies pretty much depending on how you're looking relative to the zero phase point. There doesn't appear to be too much of a general color at all. However, it looks as though some of the rocks and boulders, of which there are quite a few in the near area, looks as though they're going to have some interesting colors to them, over. Roger, copy. Sounds good to us, Tranquility. We'll let you press on through the simulated countdown, and we'll talk to you later. Over.
Roger.
Okay, this 1-6-G is just like the airplane. Roger, Tranquility. Be advised, there are lots of smiling faces in this room and all over the world. Over.
Well, there are two of them up here.
Roger, it was a beautiful job, you guys.
And don't forget one in the command module.
Roger.
Buzz Aldrin with that first description of what the lunar surface looks like.
Lost from Mike Collins at an altitude of 60 miles. The comments on the landing, on the manual takeover, came from Neil Armstrong. Buzz Aldrin followed that with a description of the lunar surface and the rocks and boulders that they are able to see out the window of the LEM.
Tranquility, Houston, we have you pitched up about 4.5 degrees, over.
That's confirmed by our local observation.
Roger.
That means they found a relatively flat space in the middle of all those rocks and boulders. Well within the prescribed
limits. Thanks for putting me on relay, Houston. I was missing all the action.
Roger, we'll enable Miss Finn relay.
I just got it, I think.
Roger, Columbia, this is Houston. Say something. They ought to be able to hear you. Over.
Calling up Collins in the Columbia. Which
Roger, Tranquility Base. It sure sounded great from up here. You guys did a fantastic job.
Thank you. Just keep that orbiting base ready for us up there now.
They're talking.
Will do.
That request from Neil Armstrong.
That word fantastic occurring again, and if there ever was a fantasy come true, this would seem to be one.
Here in Mission Control, Flight Director Gene Kranz going around the
request 10327, AOS 10413, over.
Thank you.
Now they're telling Mike Collins when they're going to lose the contact with him and when they're going to reacquire. And certainly the box seat holders in Valhalla themselves must have been just a little bit more than interested on what these Earthlings were up to in this past half hour, Steve. I believe this thing got more attention than you and I may know.
Billions of people, and of course the billions that will go on through history, remembering this moment and the moment that is to come, any time from, oh, about 5.5 or 6 hours from now to perhaps 8 hours from now, when
the
man will first set foot on the moon.
On the telecom here in Mission Control, that LEM systems look good after that landing. We're about 26 minutes now from loss of signal from the command module.
I didn't hear the stay-no-stay decision, but obviously it's been made.
Yes, they've gone through that, and
Tranquility Base, Houston, all your consumables are solid. You're looking good in every respect. We copy the dips, venting. Everything is copacetic, over.
They're through with that descent propulsion engine now, and so they're venting what remains in the fuel tanks so as not to give them any possible problem.
Well, Steve, I just can't find words, because I think in our lexicon of descriptive phrases that tell us about how we relate to things here on Earth, they haven't invented the right language yet for this sort of thing, but it must certainly make a great many people more than happy. Fulfilled, I suppose, is the word for that.
I keep thinking, Reed, about, as I said earlier, about how the families must feel. Certainly the officials in Mission Control. But more than that, every technician who contributed a weld or a twist on a screwdriver or whatever to that piece of hardware that's sitting there now on the surface of the moon in the Sea of Tranquility.
Houston,
must have great, great pride in this moment.
The guys that bet that we wouldn't be able to tell precisely where we are the winners today. We were a little busy worrying about program alarms and things like that in the part of the descent where we would normally be picking out our landing spot. And aside from a good look at several of the craters we came over in the final descent, I haven't been able to pick out the things on the horizon as a reference as yet.
Right, Tranquility, no sweat. We'll figure it out, over.
Well, that was expected. They don't know exactly in a coordinate sense precisely where they are. And they said earlier that wherever they put down, well, that was going to be the landing site. The precision landings are going to be left to the next 9 Apollos who will come down, perhaps the last one within the crater Copernicus. But right now, I think they're very satisfied to be on the surface of the moon on or about landing site number 2.
They close the shades on their lunar module now, having looked outside to try to guess where they are, and checking the habitable condition of their spacecraft, making sure that the oxygen flow is okay. They'll take off their helmet and gloves.
Interested to know that I don't think we notice any difficulty at all in adapting to 1/6 G. It seems
immediately natural to move in this environment.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy, over.
And then they'll
Neil
begin...
Armstrong reporting there, no difficulty adapting to the 1/6 gravity of the moon.
Window is a relatively level plane cratered with a fairly large number of craters of the 5 to 50 foot variety, and some ridges, small 20, 30 feet high, I would guess, and literally thousands of little 1 and 2 foot craters around the area. We see some angular blocks out several hundred feet in front of us that are probably 2 feet in size and have angular edges. There is a hill in view just about on the ground track ahead of us. Difficult to estimate, but might be a half a mile or a mile.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy, over.
Sounds like it looks a lot better than it did yesterday at that very low sun angle. It looked rough as a cob then.
Michael Collins talking to
him. Well, it really was rough, Mike. Over the targeted landing area, it was extremely rough, cratered, and large numbers of rocks that were probably some many larger than 5 or 10 feet in size.
When in doubt, land long.
So we did.
When in doubt, land long, Michael Collins. Good-humoredly advised Neil Armstrong after hearing that Neil Armstrong indeed had to land long because the targeted landing site was just too rough to land on. And he had to go about the distance of a football field to get past all those big rocks and boulders and set down at a smoother place. And indeed, he picked a place that is smooth and relatively flat, pitching up at an angle of only 4.5 degrees, well within nominal for any takeoff. And they'll begin a simulated countdown now, preparing for the possibility of a takeoff at any time. They'll get everything lined up should they have to take off at any time. And we'll pause for this.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That is a recording of the Apollo 11 moon landing, and it is fascinating. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but if you're interested in listening to the whole thing, you can go over to archive.org and just look for the Apollo 11 landing coverage. Not only are there different stations that have preserved their broadcast for posterity, but there were just regular people who were using their reel-to-reels to record what they were hearing and seeing on their televisions. And there are people who found these reel-to-reel recordings and uploaded them to the archive. And they're not going to be perfect broadcasts, because these are just normal people recording things, and you'll hear like background people, and sometimes things drop out because of the age of the medium. But you'll get a feel for just how momentous this occasion was. And because of that, there were so many songs about the moon that that really reflect the era.
We'll have a lovely afternoon. Kiss the world goodbye, and away we'll fly. Destination moon. We'll travel fast as a light till we're out of sight. The earth will be like a toy balloon. What a thrill you'll get riding on my jet. A destination moon. We'll go up, 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 up. Straight to the moon, we two. High in the starry blue, I'll be out of this world with you. So away we'll steal in my space mobile, a supersonic, a honeymoon. Leave your cares below, pull the switch, let's go. A destination moon. To the moon with you. We'll be high in the starry blue. I'll be out of this world with you. So away we'll steal in my jet mobile, a supersonic honeymoon. Leave your cares below, pull that switch, let's go. Destination. We're flying high up in the sky. Destination moon.
I'm happy too. I'll say yes, whatever you want, boy. I'm on deck.
Oh!
89.5 FM, KPOO, San Francisco. Today's the anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. Thank you. Shadow from What It Is, Funky Soul and Rare Grooves, 1967 to 77. Before that, Rufus Wonder and Under the Moon from Tell Me So. The Jimi Hendrix Experience and Moon, Turn the Tides Gently, Gently Away. That's from Electric Ladyland. Errol Garner doing Moon Glow from Moon Glow. Heard from the Blue Jeans and Moon Mist. That you can find on Jungle Exotica Volume 4. Tipsy, Nude on the Moon, very risque. That is from Triptease. Ima Sumac doing Choladas from Voice of Yextabe. And we got to hear Dinah Washington and Destination Moon from Ultra Lounge Volume 15, Wild, Cool, and Swingin' Too. Hey, if you ever wondered what I played, you can go to our website and click on our Spinatron link, and you will find playlists for all the shows that we've been doing. Plus, you can hear any show that we've done in the last 2 weeks. And if you liked hearing the Apollo landing, you can find a link to that also on Spinatron, or you can just go on over to archive.org and look up all the real-time recordings of people listening to the Apollo landing. It's just about time for me to go off into the sunsets. I'm going to leave you with Yoko Kano and the Seatbelts. What planet is this?